Welcome to this concluding chapter on future potential of the BPO industry. So as you've seen through the various chapters, you've gone through each and every aspects of the outsourcing engagement and where this industry now stands in the current shape and what is the forward view which is there. Let us look at what are some of the trends here in terms of the industry and what is the futuristic view on the industry. So let us look at the industry trends for BPO, right? Let us start with the first one. So digital solutions. So if you've been observant, everybody today wants a digital transformation in the organization, right? People are looking for digitizing all aspects of work. And what does digitizing basically imply, right? People want to do away, organizations want to do away with the human interaction or involvement of staff, right? If you've seen bots, right, these are on huge rise, especially if you are in an organization and let me use the same example of using the product of ServiceNow for ticketing, right? So when you raise a ticket in the organization for say a particular IT activity, right, that ticket gets assigned to a particular group for resolution. Now what happens, what is happening of late is you have a repository of historical incidents or queries put up, and then you have solutions as well, what actions were taken to fulfill or satisfy that. You will suddenly see on the screen a chatbot responding, how may I assist you, right? So what is happening is now this request is getting responded to immediately by a bot. It is no longer waiting for that ticket to be assigned to a human being and then he will read and respond. Even if you look at the websites of large organizations, I think it's there on the Amazon support website as well. You will have chat windows where you will have a pop-up saying do you need assistance in ABC, right, if you have a query, right? So the human intervention, and these are typically for routine tasks, right? Understand that these bots may not have understanding of specific issues. So if say I take example of a website for Simply Learn, right, I am trying to look at a course in say cloud, right, Azure cloud, and if I start scanning their website or trying to get into more details, I will see that chatbot coming up saying can I help you with it? And then if I put in my course requirements and if it has a linkage to that particular requirement in its repository, right, it will start responding you with answers. It will give you, say, this particular course is available in this particular section, right? So bots, use of bots has increased. As I mentioned, everybody is looking at digital transformation in the organization, even resource skills. You have requirements for employees or skilled in digital transformation. So what all is covered here under digital transformation? The aspects of AI, ML, data science, when I'm saying all this reference to artificial intelligence, machine learning, these are some of the aspects covered here under digitization. And the trend, as I mentioned, this will slowly move towards digital outsourcing from just outsourcing, right? People may no longer want to talk about legacy and all, but they may want to talk about the next level of outsourcing in terms of, is the outsourcing linked to the digital environment around. So that's trend number one in terms of looking at digital solutions. Let's look at trend number two, right? Cloud-based platforms. Now, if you are into IT, information technology, you will see that most of, and as we have covered in the early chapter as well, most of the infrastructure now is moving towards cloud, right? So basically what is happening, you have a service provider like Amazon Azure, right? Amazon has AWS Cloud, Azure is from Microsoft, right? Even Google has the cloud setup. So these organizations, and there are a lot more, they have very large setups where they are offering you services. And as we saw earlier, services either infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, or software as a service, right? So these models are easy, quick to use, and flexible. You have a lot of reliability and flexibility built up here. Most important is the commercial construct here. As we saw earlier, this is a pay as you use model, right? So it is like I am paying only for the portion that I am consuming, right? So earlier it's like to take an crude Indian example, you order a thali, so it is at a X price, say 200 bucks, and you get the entire spread, and it has all designated components in terms of two vegetables, rice, dal, other stuff, right? Now, as a consumer, I may be interested in having just two, three of that seven different offerings, right? So essentially for me, it's a waste. I am not going to consume. I don't like that particular vegetable. I'm not going to have it. But I have to make the complete payment, right? Contrary to this, assume where you have the option of the restaurant telling you that you have this flavor available, but each one is at a different cost. So that 200 bucks, he splits up into 40, 20, 50 and so on, and assigns to each of the component of that plate. So there, then I have an option of picking up just two, three things, and then I pay just that much. I don't need to make the entire payment. Similarly, on the cloud stuff, I don't need to buy a server which has say 1 TB capacity and use just 100 MB. Right, that would be a overkill. But earlier times, that was a situation where you had to buy the entire stuff, you had to buy the entire license. Here in cloud, the service provider is making effective use by distributing it across various customers and offering you at a lower cost, and as well as paying for only what is being consumed, right? So in the cloud, if I am consuming 500 terabytes of storage, I would be billed for that. I won't be billed for 700 or 800, right? If I am tomorrow consuming from, I come down from 500 to 200, I will be billed for 200. So it's a pay as you go model, and this is a huge, I would say, impactor on the financial models of organizations. And organizations prefer this because what happens is they are able to, I would say, a portion of finances for the business aspect. So this takes pure care of IT, right? Cloud setup is purely for the IT infrastructure setup. It is not your not linked to your business process. So what happens is if you have a lower, lesser component being attached here, and you have a larger pie available, you can look at spending that portion on business enhancement or production capacity upgrade, whatever, right? This solution, as I said, now this service is available globally, right? So it becomes very easy to engage with the cloud service providers. This is very, very, I would say, supportive or beneficial for the small businesses and SMEs, right? Being smaller in size and not having that huge financial capability to invest in IT infrastructure, hardware, licenses, resources to support, these small organizations can quickly build their setups in the cloud at a very low cost, right? This helps improve the business processes and value chains. So that's the second trend towards which the movement is in this industry, which is cloud-based platforms. Let us look at trend number three, which is cybersecurity. Now, cybersecurity is something which by default customers are expecting to be taken care of, and which is why this come up as a trend here. As I mentioned earlier, there's increase in cyber attacks all around, and there are separate dark web discussions happening where data is held at ransom and other stuff is happening. So there's a need for having a very high level of data security, right? So the expectation, I would say, is that cyber security is taken care of. The service provider, because he has those communication channels with the customer. So geographically, we are connecting from A country to B country over the web, right? There are VPNs between both the organizations. The data is encrypted, right? So one expects that the service provider has safety measures adequate enough to ensure safety of the data in transit, right? Compliances like the SOC compliance, these are good indicators of the security levels, right? Again, just as I mentioned, the baseline principle of POLP should be followed, principle of least privileges. And because this is touching upon security, there's a mention of ensuring the security reviews and audits. So this trend, as I mentioned, talks more in terms of having the cyber security portion covered, right? That's a, I would say, increasing trend in recent times. Looking at the next trend, which is artificial intelligence. Now, this has spread across all industries, artificial intelligence. People know details, don't know details, but they talk about AI everywhere, right? What does AI do and what does AI mean, right? Artificial intelligence helps in terms of automating several processes by using pre-hand information available, right? It is primarily, you will have a link between AI, ML and RPA, right? Which is machine learning, robotic process automation, right? These are proactive, I would say, measures that help automatically indicate or move to the next step, right? Artificial intelligence, if used appropriately, it's a very effective tool to scale up operations. It can also help cut down unnecessary cost, right? So AI is big from a trend perspective, and most of the requirements are in terms of looking for service providers who are in this field of using AI to capitalize on the existing setups. You will see that Chatbot is another example, like as I mentioned earlier, also in terms of the bots. So these can easily trace to through the customer issues, right? And as I mentioned, there's no need for having a human intervention required there. These can effectively respond intelligently, I would say, based on the query put up and need, right? Again, for training of agents, this becomes a very simple and effective measure. AI can help with prompted automated actions as well, right? It's more of how this is programmed and used in your environment. So that's how artificial intelligence works. The next is linked to it, which is robotic process automation, right? So this goes one level more in terms of specializing the programs to automate repetitive or secondary tasks, right? This works in conjunction, this can work in conjunction with AI and ML, right? And it uses a blended approach, right, to ensure that you have more automation available to execute stuff. Now, what are the benefits of automation? Automation will help you do away with mundane tasks which require human intervention, where there is a need. And what happens is, when there is a need for human intervention, there is a time gap as well for the human to take that input, process and give an output. So this helps improve the efficiency as well. The response is immediate. There is no waiting time for reaching out to a human, right? So as I mentioned, if configured in the right manner and the right blend of approach using AI, ML and RPA, these go hand in hand in the digitizing stuff, right? So if you look at how the automation happens here, if you look at a sequence manner, what will happen is step one in any case will be the analysis, right? One needs to analyze and see what kind of solution can be built up to eliminate all errors. So in step one, what happens is an analysis, a thorough analysis is done of the existing business process, right, which can help to create an optimized solution. Step two is where you define the process to use the software bots, right, or robots as you call. So based on the analysis, you now set up a process which is software driven, and these bots are primarily coded to help in the workflow, and these then start performing with greater speed, accuracy and precision. So that's where I would say execution comes in play. What benefit is there? The benefit of speed, as I mentioned earlier. These bots help speed up the process drastically. As I said, there is no waiting time. Also, the delivery is high quality and consistent. Because this is a system stuff, there is no change in level of quality or deliverable. It would be consistent across, right? And RPA or robotic process automation can be effectively used to transform your raw unstructured data into measurable performance. Let's look at the next trend, which is social media management, right? So we've been hearing stuff on social media all this while, and social media is not only caught up with the regular interaction of people, but it has made its I would say inroads into some portion of business also, and it has become influential business tool, especially because customers are voicing out without any apprehension their views, feedbacks openly on the social media, right? So this particular platform has a huge wealth of invaluable customer data, and if you do the right kind of analysis, you can you will be able to understand how the consumers are engaging with your brand, especially in terms of their feedback, right? Their I would say even suggestions. It's not only for trying to give feedback on the product, but yes, some of them also indicate what more they would like to see, and this helps in terms of your future process of where the product can be taken further. Sorry. So social media management is one of the key BPO industry offering in recent times, and because this is linked with social media, it is, these platforms are generally designed for easy use and support, right? And you have a range of services available in social media. We have indicated some of these, and these are just pointers, as I said. Interactive voice responses, live chatting. You have immediate responses on the social media platforms, right? You have social media monitoring, right? Where there's, I would say, around the clock monitoring to get feedback or any response on your particular product or offering. Then you have business intelligence. So as I mentioned earlier, if the data available here is analyzed in the right manner, it can give you insights into how the product is accepted and also how an enhancement can be done. It gives you a lot of customer response and consumer insights basically. This can help your new product developments, right? And online review management, so that's another offering where you have a process defined to do the online reviews. So that's how social media management is shaping up or coming up as a trend. Next is standardized services. Now, what is standardized service? Companies want to respond faster, right? Earlier, it was like you saw in the process, transition takes a good amount of time, right? Transition is required where you have a legacy setup, an understanding to build the platform. But companies where they are looking at new solutions, especially digital solutions, right? They are wanting to explore services which can be made available immediately and they have a faster time to market, right? So which is where what happens is standardized services come into play where you have a product which is available easily for use for maximum consumers in that industry. For example, if I have an offering for a manufacturing business, I would have a service offering which can apply without any customization to 70-80% of the industry, right? So what happens is if an industry is looking at changes, the changes would be minimal, right? So the customization cost is low. Since there's little customization, there's a faster turnaround. It won't take too much of a time, right? And because for a service provider it is available, there's a huge control on the expenses as well from the customer side because the cost is low for doing any tweaking or development. So what is happening is standardized service offering is becoming is catching up or becoming key for the industry, and I would say it's like off the shelf available I would say service that is being looked at. Moving forward, I think this is a key point here, which is agility. So everything is revolving around, I would say, time, right? You have faster turnaround time requirements, you have lower development times around your requirements, right? So the expectation is there should be good quality, there should be speed, there should be flexibility, right? And over the, I would say, spread of geography, there should be standardization, right? So today the environment is very demanding, right? And I can give you a simple example of project management, right? So earlier project management framework was primarily linked to PMP or the Project Management Institute certification of having 9 different or 12 different areas of knowledge to be worked upon. Even the other standard project management framework of PRINCE2, it has a certain processes defined. Over time, if you talk in project management in today's terms, the requirement is more for agile. You would have heard the word water flow and agile, right? So water flow is again, that's more of a sequential or process oriented stuff. Agile is where the expectation is to correct the course as the road is being run, right? It doesn't talk of a serial workflow, which was the norm earlier. You complete activity A, fine, finish, go to B, go to C, and then these used to consume a lot of time. Today, the agility is required in terms of having a course correction or an alteration or a change adapted to immediately in the process. So a person is looking at rapid integration, right? Plug and play solutions, right? We come across an issue, let's add this particular module, move ahead, right? So agility has become a key, I would say, requirement in all industries, right? And in this industry specifically, people are looking at flexible contracts, right? Because the business is also become agile. Today, you no longer have a standardized business running. Business needs to be adaptive for change, right? You need to have diversity to cover up a particular, I would say, slowdown of a business in a particular area. Now, since the adaptability is high there in terms of wanting to keep the baseline, I would say, profits at par, business will want to quickly adapt internally in terms of focus on any of its core business, encashing on any of the current demands. So for example, the classic current scenario that we all are facing of the corona pandemic situation, right? What has happened is it has hit businesses by and large everywhere. And if you have seen or observed who all have survived, organizations that have been agile have been able to survive this better than the others, I would say, right? I've seen examples of industries which were into, say, manufacturing a certain input source for a medical field, turn that particular production setup into full-blown manufacturing of, say, face mask, right? So, in erstwhile times, it would have been like, let us draw a project plan, let us chart out a business scenario, take approvals, think over a product and see how this can be. But all this was not done. Like, it was instantly to cater to the need, right? Because that is where the company thought that's the business that one can get into to survive, right? So agility is key now, and it is for sure something that needs to be looked up. Right, for better productivity, for sure, the agile teams are essential to improve productivity. Thank you.